Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs of how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
All right. Everybody's chipper. Hopefully that's not just because we've concluded our study in, with Brennan Manning's Ragamuffin Gospel. We're not all excited about that, are we? All right. Or we're just full of joy and wonder at the grace of God. Okay, for the listening audience, they are nodding their heads yes. Hey, remember, gentlemen, this is radio, not TV. They cannot see you, which probably for their benefit is a good thing. All right. So as I mentioned, we spent the past several weeks looking at Brennan Manning's The Ragamuffin Gospel. Right? We've concluded that study, and so for today's edition of Word Made Flesh, what I'd like to do is kind of go around the room and have each of you share just a little synopsis of what part of that book, a study of Brennan's, really jumped out at you. All right. So if you could share with our listening audience what that section, what that sentence, what that theme, whatever that is for you, impacted you, as well as share, you know, the why. Why did that really strike you in that way? And then maybe thirdly, how is that going to change your life? So how about the what, the why, and the how? Does that sound good? All right. Yeah, go ahead. Run it.
My favorite part has come from chapter 8. This is my favorite chapter. It's on page 152. It says, "In Christ Jesus, freedom from fear empowers us to let go of the desire to appear good so that we can move freely in the mystery of who we really are." I'll talk about that in a second. Then there's a second part that I really like. It's on 156 in chapter 8. Jesus calls us to accept his compassion in our own lives, to become gentle, caring, compassionate, and forgiving towards ourselves and our failure and need. I think the biggest part of this book that what's impacted me the most is that even though I have failed in my life and I've done things that don't align with what God would want me to do, I realize that he still loves me. He still cares for me. He forgives me and wants me to. He doesn't want me to do that stuff again. But he's bigger than all my problems, so he can move on from that, and so can I. I don't, you know what I mean? He cares enough for me. His grace is sufficient to cover all that up. I don't need to identify with that anymore, with all my past problems.
So can you maybe expound a little bit on how you see that as being free, or what's the freedom part, and then what's the fear? In other words, do you feel now that you're free from the guilt and the anguish of your past, where you don't have to be afraid of how that impacts your relationship with God? I mean, the title of that chapter is Freedom from Fear.
Right. I think it is, it's kind of liberating. You just have this weight that's off of your shoulders, all that guilt that you've been carrying around forever. You know, a lot of that I would use as an excuse to continue doing the things I was doing, like the drugs and the alcohol. And knowing that I don't have that anymore, it's still in my past and I can't completely forget about it, but I can move on and don't have to identify with it anymore. And the only way that happened was through God. That's the only way, because I've tried everything, you know, counseling, drugs, alcohol, talking to people, everything, and it just, nothing works but God. And that's free. I don't need to walk around with any of that on me anymore. I'm not judged by it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good, good. All right,
I'm going to get my out. All right, what hit me out of the book was chapter 1, very first chapter. Something's radically wrong. You see, Jesus took away my sins, not my backbone. Jesus was a radical. not a pushover. Something is radically wrong when we say we follow Christ, get shoved in that Christian box. Preconceived conception of us is weak, heads down, hands in our pockets, kicking a rock, afraid to speak up and confront. Grace through faith, victoriously limping, immersed in the blood of the risen King. Grace given, we are all equal. Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Something's radically wrong, yes, when we take our crap, don't stink pills, America's quick fix to sainthood, looking down our nose at those still stagnant and cesspool. We ought to love them with a 20-foot pole, not to keep that safe distance, yet to pull them to the shore. We need to decide, we gotta let the spirit take control and shift these tectonic plates. We have something to say, so stand to us tall and speak up. So what this stirs, I mean, I read this last year, you know, I read it, went through it, but I just get a real uneasy feeling nowadays, you know, it's very uncomfortable. Something ain't right, something is radically wrong. I lose sleep over even sometimes, something's just not right, and I love it. I don't like feeling safe, I don't like feeling content. I love that feeling, something's always stirring, something's always happening, I'm always feeling something. Something's gotta give, something's gotta be done. To me, that's what Jesus was. He was radical. He went against the grain. He went against everything. We need that. We need that in society. We need that in the city. We need this in this world. And, if I can't even say something to Justin over here in the room, how can I say something to the world? To the world and say, you're okay, and I'm going to mess you up.
Uh-huh.
No, it has to be go. We're victorious through this. I mean, we already won. It's like if I look at this, you know, these pages of living, breathing word, but you already know who won the game. It's like watching the 1985 Bears old footage. You know they won the Super Bowl. You know they had a refrigerated pair. You know they had it. You know who won. We know who won. So why are we still trying to play with the world on the wrong team and say, I think we're going to win? Game's over. Done deal. It's finished. So we keep killing ourselves still. I'm only saying half what we really feel.
I think you're absolutely correct. I mean, we use language in here, and I know you're well versed in it. We think about Jesus' walk and really calling us to an upside down kingdom. You know, it's the great reversal. Sometimes theologians refer it to, and that can be very uncomfortable for us. I mean, we've kind of been conditioned to live in a certain direction, a certain way, and to take the seriousness of this call is, that might be a whole new way. And it does feel like we're upside down. It does feel like it's against the grain and all those things. But that's part about, we use language like kingdom advancing. If advancing the kingdom is just to advance my comfortability in Christ, we may be advancing the wrong kingdom. Right? And I love the way Brennan starts that book by identifying the problem. And then he offers us the solution to the problem is really this grace, but this grace ought to make us very uncomfortable to a degree if we're going to risk everything. And we're going to really put our entire faith, hope, and trust into the reality that I am just, relentlessly loved. That ought to embolden us. That's really chapter 3 in the book of Acts, right? When Peter has his big speech.
Yep.
You know, he's emboldened. He finally gets it. Right? To where it doesn't matter what you think. I mean, aren't these a bunch of uneducated fishermen? And yet, just as you're saying, he's empowered to speak boldly, audaciously. He has the audacity to... All right, go ahead.
There's lots of good stuff in here, but I really, really like this one. It's in chapter 9, the second call on page 171. If we believe in the exciting message of Jesus, if we hope in vindication, we must love. And even more, we must run the risk of being loved. You know, it says, we must love. You know, that's hard. You know, it's easy, but at the same time, it's hard. You know, how do we love our neighbor or someone we don't like? You know, that's hard. You know, before it was unheard of, But, you know, for me now, it's pretty easy to do it. You know, I get along, you know, pretty much everyone here. There's people I don't care for, but you still got to love me anyway, you know, me serving and stuff like that, you know. But I'm not at this point, you know, but how do we, you know, get people's minds, you know, how do we love these people? A lot of people overlook, oh, no, you know, you're a sinner, you're a prostitute, you sell dope, you're a drug addict, you know, how do we love them? You know what I mean?
Well, I think Brennan kind of gives you the answer in the second half of what you read. Right? It's one thing to reach out and love others.
Yeah.
Which is easier for you, to love the stranger, to love the enemy, to love the other, or to risk the truth that you're loved?
Risk it for me. I mean, the truth that I'm loved, you know, or, you know, the risk of trying to accepting your love.
Or, again, for Brennan, this grace that God loves you.
Yeah.
Will you take the risk and trust that God loves you? Because what Brennan's really going to say is, when we do that, that's precisely what opens us up to loving others. Because now all of a sudden, I don't have to judge them by their drug addiction, their, you know. Is prostitution a social enterprise? I don't know. Their entrepreneurial street skills, how's that? We don't have to pass judgment, because what I realize is, I'm a sinner too.
Yeah. And
I've embraced and taken the risk that God loves me, so I know God loves them, and because I've been forgiven much, I can now love much. Yeah. Right? What Brennan's really saying is, if we try to just love others without taking that risk for God, then that's us doing it. Mm-hmm. That's just us being nice people, which is very different than being fully immersed in the truth that I'm a forgiven people,
yeah,
person. Right. That's good.
And, you know, what I wanted to add, you know, I can finally stop, you know, I still catch myself doing it, you know, because it used to be a natural thing. But I can finally let my guard down, and, you know, instead of not taking the risk because I'm scared of being hurt, you know, all that and that, well, that's life. That's going to happen, you know what I mean? Risk that crap.
All right. Okay, we got a few minutes left. You want to share a little bit?
This book has taught me a lot about grace, love, and actually living life. And something that stuck with me is chapter 3, the Ragamuffin Gospel, page 54. It's a Zen story about a monk being chased by a tiger, went down a cliff with jagged rocks beneath him. The monk saw a strawberry, and he saw the grace and beauty in it, and he ate it even though he had death surrounded by him, and it was the best strawberry he's ever ate. With me is, I gotta take in the grace and the beauty and actually stopping for a moment. Been living my life and fast forward for as long as I can remember. Need to slow it down, not go 100 miles an hour, slow it down to 20, 30, and actually take things in and see the true beauty in things.
Yeah, I like that story as well. I think there's a time, you know, if you go back up the cliff, there's a tiger who's going to eat you, so you're dead. If you let go of the branch and you fall down, there's the rocky cliffs, you're going to die. So in between the two deaths is this opportunity to embrace the moment of life. Now, if we're overly concerned about the two deaths, we really are living death, because we miss the moment of life. Yeah, good. Again, I'm appreciative, and I thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farming Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. We look forward to you joining us again next Sunday morning.